It's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
And we are up and running for another Wednesday. This one, the 22nd of February, 2023. It's 4 minutes past nine. How are you keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed. A cold but fresh and bright morning this morning. I hope it felt the same for you out there. Right, okay, loads coming up on the show. You heard Donald Flagman and we're talking about quitting smoke. We've got business news. There's so much in there over the course of the 3 hours, so please stay where you are and get involved in the conversation as well. It's been a cracking week for your interactions. 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call in 07491 25000, and emails come in at comments@highlandradio.com. if you want to watch the show, don't forget, on your smart TV, on your Fire Stick, go into the YouTube app, search us there. You can watch us on your big screen or via the same platforms on your mobile device. And you can also check us out on our website, highlandradio.com. Watch live there. Right, what was I going to say to you? I think we're going to be announcing the Community Hero Award winner on Friday. Very excited about that. We're going to go through the entries a little later on today. Hopefully now, I think there was a bit of a rush yesterday as well too, but there's been a great response to it. Also finalising the music competition that we have running. Again, I've been listening through the entrance to that over the last couple of weeks. A good standard, again, it has to be said. So we'll be selecting the finalists for that and looking forward to them performing live on the show. So there's lots going on, and we'll keep you updated as things progress. But let's crack on with the papers this morning. And it's an incredibly, incredibly sad front page of the Inish Times. Huge sadness at passing of brave Rocco McGinley. And I think all of us, when we heard this news, our thoughts instantly went to Rocco initially, of course, but to his family. A massive gap now left in their lives. Tributes have been paid to Buncrana teenager Rocco McGinley, who has passed away after a battle with a rare brain tumour. The 15-year-old passed away on Tuesday morning, surrounded by his family. He'd been diagnosed with an extremely rare type of life-threatening brain tumour in October 2021. And again, we wish Rocco's family and his friends and the wider community, because I think, his passing is going to be felt deeply by an awful lot of people. We wish them all the strength that can be mustered at this incredibly, incredibly difficult time. On to the Finn Valley Voice now. Work to start this year on the 10 million Twin Towns regeneration, an exciting project. Although this is a blurred photo print, I'm not sure how much of this kind of read. The team, design team, I think, for the... I'll come back to that because I simply cannot read it. It's been printed too small for me. Not the paper itself, because I just got a front page and it's on a grey background, and not a chance am I going to be fit to read that this morning. Let's go to the national... Actually, do you know what? I can open this up and do it this way. Try and keep everything in order because it's an important story for the Finn Valley as well. Let me see here. The design team for the ambitious €9.8 million Ballybuffet Stranraer regeneration strategy is expected to be appointed next month. Donegal County Council also confirmed that the land valuation services will be unannounced at the same time. Following appointment of the integrated design team, a programme of works will be determined, outlining proposed commencement dates. The council spokesperson said it's understood that work will start before the end of the year. That's going to really change the face of Ballybuffet and Stranraer, I suppose, as well. I can't wait to see how that finishes out and how it looks. Look forward to seeing work begin there. The cost of living package confirmed yesterday afternoon. I don't know if you looked over it or what you thought of it. There's been a mixed political reaction to it and representative groups as well. The $1.3 billion cost of living package unveiled by the government has sparked a mixed reaction, with business groups giving it a broad welcome, but others saying once-off measures for struggling households do not go far enough. The cabinet signed off on a €200 bonus payment for welfare recipients such as pensioners, lone parents and people with disabilities, as well as a €100 child benefit top-up for families. Now, for some families, that's an additional €300, so it is going to make a difference. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said the measures were aimed at helping people and businesses get through the spring and summer, and it would be the last cost of living intervention this side of the budget. Taoiseach Micheál Martin predicted that while the opposition would dismiss the measures, the public would welcome them, when viewed alongside the 11 billion package in last year's budget. Ministers also agreed to extend the reduced VAT rate on electricity and gas, and for excise cuts on petrol and diesel to be phased out between June and the end of October. There'll be no extra €200 electricity credit this summer, but the government signalled that the need for such payment next winter would be considered in advance of the budget. Now, I understand, there's still a €200 payment at the end of March, isn't there, which is going to help again. The Cabinet agreed the waiving of exam fees for the Leaving Cert, and to boost the back-to-school allowance by €100. That's all well and good, but some parents receiving bills for €130 for mock exam papers. So the Junior and Leaving Cert will be free, but why are people being charged €130-odd for mock exams? But anyway, what is being described as modest charges for school transport in rural areas are to be reintroduced after they were dropped last year. The Coalition also approved the extension of the reduced 9% VAT rate for the hospitality sector until the end of August. Mr. Varadkar said it would be the final extension. So that's that. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald criticised the package as silent on housing, with nothing for renters or mortgage holders. Social Democrats co-leader Roisin Shortall said it was wholly inadequate. And we know mortgage holders, some, their bills have gone up by thousands of euro every single year. Over thousands of euro a year because of rising interest rates, of course. So any bit of money that we have, and we heard again in the news, unfortunately, we've cemented our position as the county with the lowest disposable income. So any increase affects more people here in a greater way. That's just a reality. It's not, you know, poor mouthing from Donegal. It is the God's honest truth. But if you're a multimillionaire, you know, here's another reminder in the Irish Independent that things are going to be okay for you. AIB has reassured staff that Kilkenny hurling star DJ Carey did not receive any special treatment when he had debts of €9.5 million written down to just €60,000. No special treatment, they say. Mr. Carey secured a settlement in 2017 through which he had to pay just 0.63% of the original amount owed to the majority state-owned bank. RTE's primetime revealed how Mr. Carey received a 99.37% reduction in his debt. However, it's understood the sale of properties at the K Club in County Kildare and Mount Juliet in County Kilkenny also went towards relieving the debt. Therefore, Mr. Carey would have received an estimated write-down of around 80% after the sale of his properties and the 60% settlement were taken into account. That doesn't change much for me. If he's got high-value properties, you know, they had to be sold against his debt. He still had a very significant write-down of money he borrowed that he didn't have to pay back. Politicians are now calling for AIB to appear before the Oireachtas Finance Committee to explain the move and to give an outline of a number of different cases at different values. You know, give us some samples of people who owe between 50 and 100,000 euro and then those that owe between 5 and 10 million. You know, let us see exactly what's going on. In the Irish Daily Mail this morning, shoppers have been urged to buy local amid a shortage of certain fruit and veg due to poor weather conditions in Europe. Impacted items include broccoli, cauliflower, lettuce, tomatoes, cucumber, peppers, aubergines and courgettes. Not going to lie, it's not going to impact on our house too much. It should, but it's not. Justin Leonard, Managing Director of Jackie Leonard & Sons, a wholesale fruit and veg supplier in Dublin, told RTE that Spain's experienced 16 consecutive nights of below freezing temps over the last 3 weeks. Mr. Leonard said when temperatures go below zero, plants stop producing and close in on themselves as a protective measure. As a result, there is just no product available to be harvested. This is unfortunately a problem that is going to continue for 2 to 3 weeks, if not longer, because we're also coming towards the end of the Spanish season, he said. So it's a short-term measure. Listen, yesterday we were talking about a shortage of drugs for people who are very, very sick. We'll survive, won't we, if there's fewer cucumbers and courgettes about. But still in all, maybe it's going to put pressure on hospitality. That being said, a lot of that stuff can be bought locally and it's grown locally. Very few air miles and you're supporting local businesses and local jobs. What do you think about this one? It's in the Irish Daily Star. It was kind of mentioned on the news yesterday, but just thought I'd read it through and maybe it's a topic you might want to get involved in. The government has approved sending 30 Irish soldiers to train the Ukrainian army. Defence Minister Micheál Martin brought the proposal to Cabinet and was given the green light by his ministerial colleagues yesterday. Now, we don't get a say in this. It's just a few fellas around a table and women around a table that decide this. Mr. Martin said, Ireland has consistently, since the war began, provided non-lethal support and that the latest training is part of this agenda. Some of the most skilled members of the Defence Forces are being deployed to EU military camps in EU countries where they will train Ukrainian soldiers. So what do you think? So we've got Irish soldiers. So now we are military neutral. We're not politically neutral. That's just a reality, if the truth be told. And historically, we've always flirted with neutrality. But what do you think about this? Our army, the Army of Ireland, is going to be going over to train the Ukrainian army in bulletproof vests that we've supplied as well, to go in and fight young Russian soldiers or soldiers of all ages. Does that compromise our neutrality for what it is? Are you happy about that? Are you unhappy about it? Maybe you are the family of a soldier and it's one of his colleagues or he or her who are going out to train Ukrainian soldiers to fight in this war in Ukraine. Are you for it? Are you against it? 086 60 25,000. Now, it is possible those against it might be more motivated to text, right? Because that's just a pattern in radio shows. But if you think this is a good idea, that this is us doing our bit, I want to hear from you as well. 086 60 25,000. So should the best of the Irish army be going and joining with EU camp colleagues in camps training Ukrainian soldiers on how to use weapons and tactics and what have you to fight in Ukraine? What do you think? The experts we're sending over will include experts in bomb disposal, demining, engineering and trauma first aid. The Irish soldiers will be part of a pan-European team called the EU Military Assistance Mission in support of Ukraine. The government does not believe the mission conflicts with our long-standing policy of neutrality, and they have advice from the Attorney General that the mission does not, legally, right? Okay, it doesn't compromise that. Morally, what do you think? But anyway, it does not need approval in the Dáil. So this decision can be made without any of the people that you elected from whatever party or none having a say on it. It's not the first time that Irish soldiers have joined an EU military training mission, though, but it is the first time they have done so for a foreign army that is in an active war. So this is unprecedented. Again, what do you think? 086 60 25,000. 086 60 25,000. On to the Irish Daily Mirror this morning. Leo Varadkar has warned energy companies he'll not stand idly by if the firms do not pass discounts to customers. That noise you can hear is the energy companies trembling in their boots. Big Energy was quick to impose major price hikes on customers when wholesale prices rose last year because of the war in Ukraine. Prices on commodity markets have since begun falling, the lower than before the war started. But the Irish energy companies have not yet passed on the cheaper prices to households, with the exception of Pinergy. The Taoiseach said it only took a few months for the energy companies to put the prices up, and I'm not going to stand idly by as they report massive profits this year and don't rebate some of that to their customers. So what he's saying effectively, and I have to agree with him on this one, is that energy companies will argue that they hedged, they bought electricity, they bought gas, they bought whatever they bought, for a longer period, you know, to try and give price certainty. And now they're locked into those prices higher than the wholesale prices. But what Leo Varadkar is saying is, okay, that's fine, but that's not good enough. You have to offset some of the cost to customers by digging into your profits, which is not unreasonable, I don't think. None of them are going to go broke. Finally, a man arrested over the killing of an Irish bishop in Los Angeles is the husband of the victim's housekeeper and had previously done work at his home, authorities say. Auxiliary Bishop David O'Connell was shot in the bedroom at his home on Saturday. A SWAT team arrested Carlos Mendina following a six-hour standoff at his home in Terrance, about 55 kilometres southwest of Hacienda Heights. On Monday, LA County Sheriff Robert Lane confirmed. Very sad story, that, but they have the person in custody. Right, 086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25,000. Or give us a call on 07491 25,000, 07491 25,000. Hopefully you had a lot of pancakes and stuff yesterday, did you? I made the mistake of saying I would eat a pancake every time Real Madrid scored. And I didn't sleep a wink Now, we heard concerns expressed yesterday by AIN2 representative Mary T. Sweeney about new maps which have been drawn up that could mean that if you're in a red zone, you could face a land tax, 3% per annum. And there's a lot of catch-all in it, in that there's a lot of people's, you know, if you have a small plot for growing vegetables, a larger back garden, whatever it might be, that unknowns to you, that it could, it's zoned a certain way and it's been highlighted in this map, and you could end up paying a tax on it. And the argument was made that people weren't made aware of this, that the draft map has been drawn up now, and people could find themselves facing quite hefty tax bills, unknowns to themselves, that they would be well aware of it by the time the tax started being leveraged against them. And the call was made for this to be suspended in Donegal to some extent until there is some clarity. We're speaking to an elected rep now, Councillor Paul Canning, on this issue. Councillor Canning, I'm not sure if did you get an opportunity to listen to Mary T. Sweeney yesterday, and if so, what do you feel, if anything, needs clarification?
Unfortunately, I didn't, and I'm driving here, so you could have lost me. I'm on my way into Lifford. The situation was that we were on, you and I discussed this kind of at the end of October or start of November, around that time. It was around the time that the date was open for submissions. So it was highlighted on your show. Donegal County Council also had it up on their website. The only situation, or the only grey area, for a better word, is the established development that's there. There are people there that, whenever you look at the map, you see established development, and that could be their house, but it also could be their backyard or their back garden or whatever. That's probably what Mary T was on about. In relation to that that plot of ground, if there's infrastructure in place, i.e. if there's a footpath, if there's lighting, if there's sewer, if there's water, if there's surface water, then they are liable for the tax if the site can avail of planning permission. Now, that's a big if, because the planning rules and regulations, very few will allow you now to go into the backyard of somebody and build a house. It doesn't happen. The other situation is in relation to, well, I'm speaking specifically because it was probably Letterkenny. There's a lot of land that has been zoned. The only zoning that is relevant here is your residential, your mixed opportunity site, your reserve residential, and your established development. Now, the problem being, and there will be challenges in relation to the reserve, I think there'll be a lot of the big landowners will take a challenge to the department, insofar as the reserve residential does not guarantee them getting planning permission on it, because the primary residential has to be used up first. So it's not just over the line to the extent that everybody thinks it is.
But what does this mean, though, in terms of how will this all be sorted out? Because, if you look at the maps, there's big swathes that seem to be identified, right, for this particular tax. How are they going to enforce it, drill down into all of the criteria that you talk of, deal with individual landowners? Is it going to be up to the public to engage in appeal and try and get an exit, or are the council going to be calling around to people? Like, how is this all going to be processed? It sounds incredibly complex with so many landowners within these boundaries.
Yeah, I would say they are going to throw the blanket. They're going to throw the blanket on everything, and it's up to the individual landowner themselves then to make a case. Now, and anybody that hasn't made the submission, which from the 1st of November to the 1st of January, there is a process that they can appeal to the board. But unfortunately, like everyone, it's not everybody's up to speed with the processes and the planning, so it is going to be very difficult for people in relation to getting it sorted. I would say that this will tease itself out after we have to make a decision on the 1st of April in relation to the submissions that have been made. As councillors, we have requested an extension of time on it. The date for the 1st of January date was a national date that everybody had to abide by. We have requested for an extension of time. Now, the forward planner said that he would look into that to see if there's an avenue there, because the target is January of 2024, insofar as rolling it out. And you know, and I know, and everybody knows that when revenue starts sending out the letters, at times they are very difficult to deal with. So we need to get it sorted prior to that. In relation to the councillors and the elected members, we are well aware of it. We are in discussion with the officials in the planning section. We have a plan on SPC today. It will be brought up today again in relation to if there's any further engagement with departments in relation to that. But it is worrying for people because the proper knowledge and the proper information isn't.
And I know you're trying to explain it to me, but I'm still not really fully getting it. You know, like in terms of, say, for instance, there's a company or a holding company or an individual in Letterkenny, right? And there's a big flat piece of land and it seems ripe for development. And you wonder, why is there not a bus stop there or something? Do you know what I mean? I can kind of get that, or housing, obviously, because this is about housing. Who's going to get called into this in terms of someone in Buncrana, in Donegal Town, in Ballyshannon, in Letterkenny, who have a small holding of land, no intention ever of developing on it, right? Are there going to be people then that are going to start getting tax bills? Because they might say, look, I'm not a developer here. I've got this bit of land. I grow some spuds in it or something. I'm never going to seek planning permission for it. I don't have the resources to build on it, and I don't really want to sell it. Do you know what I mean? So are there going to be people affected like that? And if so, to what scale do you think, from what you've seen so far?
The person with the small bit of land is safe enough. When I call a small bit of land, it's on. You can't build on it. You can't apply. You can't get planning on it. The small garden is okay, 100%. You just send a letter. You will just be asked to send a letter and to the revenue or whoever's dealing with in relation to the revenue, stating the obvious and show the map to state that. Now, if you have 5 acres of ground adjacent to your property and you're in the middle of one of those towns and you have the footpath, the lighting, the sewer, the surface water, etc., you will be asked to look at developing that for the purpose of residential. If you refuse or if you don't, they will be taxing you to the extent of 3%. It's up to you to make that argument. Now, if you say, yes, I'm going to engage with Donegal County Council and I am going to apply for planning permission for that site, then you are actively engaging with the system insofar as producing houses or planning to produce houses, you will be exempt until those houses are developed.
But the argument was made that, you know, people, the person you talk of there, might have potentially gone over their head. But the big boys, the big players in this would have had all the resources to make sure they got their exemptions or what have you. They've also got the government, in a corner, really, in that if the big developers who might have access to the big swathes of land, they're saying, look, we can't afford to build. The government has to give them breaks to make them build. You know, it all works out nicely for the big boys. But your small person, of boy or girl, you know what I mean? I'm just saying boys for the sake of it. In rural Ireland, it is they that are going to be tussling with revenue in the council over their pocket of land. I mean, do you believe that this... Do you believe that this is a good move, and do you think it will achieve? Like, do you think an extra house will be built in Donegal off the back of this for all the hassle it's going to cause people?
Yeah, I think just to go back to the big boys are getting no exemptions, unfortunately, because we need developers to start building houses, and at the minute it's not happening. And the problem we have then is we have landowners that are hoarding land to try and get the land value up in price. But it's getting the mixture right, as you say. There is genuine people in towns and villages that have pieces of land, and they're nervous as to what's going to happen to them. The planning system within Donegal County Council is very good in so far as they have plans for villages and towns and or major towns, and they strategically look at locations of where there is land that needs to be used for the purpose of services for community, for development and for housing. And that's, we need to get into that space. There is no point in a person having 4 or 5 acres stuck in the middle of Letterkenny Town Centre and not making use of it. It doesn't help the town.
I just want to go back to what you say about the big boys. They don't have an ad. I would strongly disagree with that. They've got access to politicians. They've got lobby groups. Many elected politicians are these landowners, are these developers. And you know, the government's already hinting that it's going to have to do something for developers to get them back building the way the country needs to be. And without them doing that, the government can't reach its targets. You know, so I would suggest the big boys are in a far better position than you know, someone who has a bit of land in a town or within some of these boundaries within in Donegal. What's your advice to people? And you're quite right to point out that you did come on and talk about this, and I didn't reference that yesterday because I simply forgot, to be completely honest. Hands up. What should people out there be doing now? Check the maps. How are they? Who? I mean, who's going to go through all of this land and see if it would qualify for planning permission? I mean, the amount of work in this is unbelievable. I don't know how this council, between that defective concrete and everything else that's going on, how this council is going to do all of this type of work.
Yeah, well, anybody that has property that is below the quarter acre need not worry, because the backyard, and there's not going to be planning permission there in relation to that. Anybody that is above that threshold, feel free to give any elected member a ring and advise them, because that elected member then they can get a map and they can go and they can bring that map to the council or bring it to the planning SPC, but get it highlighted through the elected member, and they will give them an indication as to A, B and C in relation to that. The other big issue that we do have, you know, and people don't seem to want to talk about it, is we have applications, and Letterkenny is no different than any other town. We have applications in there for housing, for residential, and for student accommodation. That's getting objected to left, right, and centre, by just simply because not in my backyard. So these things, even though it's paying for people, these things have to be ironed out if we are going to develop the bigger towns in this county. Mm.
All right, come here. You didn't make the protest in Dublin or the demonstration or the meeting in Dublin yesterday. I mean, you know yourself, I think you knew I'd have to ask you about this. Did you have a clash of appointments, or did you make a choice not to go?
We had a Peace Plus. I'm the chairperson of the Peace Plus, and it has got a lot of mention this last while because of the Riverine project. But I'm the chair of the Peace Plus. And we had our launch. We had our launch yesterday. A very good launch. We have 7.5 million euros coming into this county. There'll be a couple of million for capital spend, but there's 3 or 4 million for actual programs. And we had the Peace Four this last 4 or 5 years, and we rolled out. We give out over 5 million in programs that. That helps.
Yep, that's really significant. If that launch wasn't on yesterday, would you have gone down?
The situation was, that's a hypothetical question, yeah. If that launch hadn't been there, I'll speak to my colleague to see how things went yesterday.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that. Thank you very much indeed, Councillor Paul Canning. Just giving some clarification on that issue. As he quite rightly pointed out, we had talked about that issue previously with him. 08660 25000, 08660 25000. Right, it is break time. We are joined in studio now by students from St. Columba's College and also a teacher as well, Nicola Harris, PE teacher. Good morning, all of you. Thank you very much for joining us. Aisling Mullen, thanks for calling in. Katie Dowds is with us as well. Hi, Katie. Sheena Ryan, all transition year students. Hi, Sheena. And Nicola Harris, PE teacher. How are you, Nicola?
I'm good, thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you in. Right, okay. So we're talking about your transition year mini company. It's called Mind Over Matter. Aisling, do you want to explain a little bit about it to us?
So our mini company is called Mind Over Matter, and we focus on creating a positive mindset for young sporting people. And
is that kind of to deal with pressure or to perform better, or is it just generally in life? Or
It deals with a lot of different aspects in the sport, like dealing with injuries or not making the cut or not starting for a team. So it deals with lots of different ways of like building your resilience back up in sports.
And that happens a lot, really. I mean, if you take part in sport, it's going to happen,
yeah,
isn't it?
All three of us like are very heavily involved in sports, and we all experience losing and winning and everything. So
yeah. Oh, it's an interesting one. Katie, talk to me a little bit about Mind Over Matter from your perspective. What do you think, what problem do you think this is fixing beyond what Aisling has mentioned there?
Well, with us being heavily involved in sports, we've seen like that a lot of people do struggle with having a positive mindset in sport, and there is a big dropout at our age in sports, so we wanted to try and create something that will create more of a motivational and positive environment like in the sporting club or in a some sort of sport that we wanted. We wanted to create something positive and make a difference.
And Katie, do you feel this is about empowering the sports person, yourselves, or is it maybe about educating coaches or trainers or selectors to understand that, you know, every action has a reaction sort of a thing?
Well, in our pack, we're kind of focusing on both of them. We have our Cari board display that we have around the sporting club that will help all teams and the players and creating a motivational mindset. And then also in the pack we have the coach's advice card, so it's going to help coaches deal with a player who's struggling to be positive and struggling to keep a positive mind.
Sheena, how did you research this? Because you want to make sure that the advice and information you're putting out there is the right advice and information.
Yeah, so we did loads of market research on our wristbands. We sent it out to all the first years and we got their results back, and they were all positive, and they helped us pick which band, which material to choose. And then we also sent out a pie chart to all, there was about 300, all different sporting between basketball, Gaelic and soccer. So we, those results that we got back were all positive, that people were struggling with the resilience in sports.
And will this take a little bit of a mindset change, Aisling? Because, you know, you might have some coaches that think, well, if you're not tough enough to sort of be switched out or to not be selected, that maybe you're not tough enough for the team. Do you know what I mean? Because you have to be, you know, resilient and all that type of stuff, and there's no space for weakness. Is there something there that needs to be addressed to change attitudes, I wonder?
Yeah, like, that's something that we're trying to focus on as well, because coaches have a big impact on players, and, like, their opinions matter to the players. So that's what we're trying... Like, some coaches wouldn't think that this is an important idea, and that's where we're trying to show them that the mindset does make a big difference in the sport, so we're trying to change coaches' opinions on mindset and sport and everything as well, because, yeah.
Just... But if they consider this, they might actually get better out of the out of the players. And Katie, you know, at younger age levels, there are measures put in place to sort of give everyone a go or to increase participation and not to have that person sitting on the bench and all that type of stuff. And then there's kind of a cliff edge, I suppose, when you get to a certain level or a certain age. Do you know what I mean? So this maybe would just be, have a bit more understanding through all the age disciplines. What I'm trying to say is effectively, you know, what we, this is replicating what we're already seeing with younger kids, where it's all about participation, getting on, inclusion. You know, we need to see that for older ones as well, presumably to keep them interested in the sport.
Yeah, because whenever you're growing up kind of in sport, you're kind of left to yourself then whenever you get to an older age. So, like, you know, whenever you get older, you kind of maybe struggle with confidence or struggle with maybe, like, going to training or going to a competition. So we just wanted to make something that will help and that people have like a backup option, and they have this here to help them and to build resilience.
Sheena, you know, elite sports people, you know, your Katie Taylors and others, and even in teams, they do have, you know, they do work with psychologists and what have you, you know. This is kind of in the same space, isn't it? It's recognising that you need to maybe, everyone's not going to have one-on-one stuff for sport, but you recognise that you will get more out of a player if you can look after them emotionally as well.
Yeah, because a lot of people just look at the physical side of it. Like, you need to really look at the mental side as well, because that does improve your performance in the sports. So I feel like if the coaches were there to help, then it will be easier for the players and they would stay in sports for longer, because I'd say there's probably, when you get to this age, you're juggling a few sports and the coaches don't know, say, if you lost the final the day before and then you're going playing another game then the next day for a different sport, then if the coaches kind of knew this, then this advice then would help them with their players.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was down in Dublin at the end of last week, and is it Nora Flanagan? Mm-hmm. Nora Flanagan was speaking about this and talking about the pressures on young people being, you know, if you're playing basketball, football, rugby could be in there as well, in Gaelic, and, you know, if you're a good player, you might play two disciplines in the one day. Not picking good players up, that's the truth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's an awful lot of pressure, and there comes a point where you have to choose, and some people say, well, I can't choose, and they just pack it in. Mm-hmm. So we could be losing the future stars of rugby, boxing, whatever it might be, because we're putting so much pressure. Now, I've focused, because you're a transition year students, an awful lot maybe on younger players, but some of the problems in terms of dealing with injuries, I've spoken to, you know, former inter-county players that have struggled with that as well, being dropped from a game. Is it specific to young people, or I presume it applies to anyone engaged in sport at any level?
Yeah, it applies to all different sporting clubs and organisations. Obviously, we started off targeting young people, as we're young people ourselves, but it's available to anyone. Like, it's for clubs as well. Like, obviously, the older people are going to be looking at the posters as well, so we aim to help everyone in sporting clubs.
In any organisations, habits have been formed. You know, the same people have been involved for a long time. Do you think it will take a while for people to look at something like this and say, you know what, there's something to it. Maybe there's a better way of doing things. Maybe they have to change what they've been doing for 10, 20 or 30 years. Do you think it will take a while for this to change? I'll ask you, Sheena.
Yeah, well, it'll always take a while, because I know coaches have their own way of dealing with their players and, like, whatever, like, their sayings and how they coach. Like, every coach is different.
Some's tough love, some's arm around the shoulder, some's... Yeah, okay, I get you.
So it will take a while for them to adapt to this if they're looking to invest in it.
Right, Katie, tell us about the school Dragon Den. When was that?
It was a couple of weeks ago. We went to Dragon's Den with our money company, and we actually won the Dragon's Den. So now we're going on to the Leo Enterprise competition in Donegal, and we're also... going at the end of March, we're going to the PE Expo with our mini company.
And what happens at this school Dragon's Den? Is it similar to the TV show? If you've watched that, you have to stand up and pitch it, do you?
Yeah, we just stood up and we pitched our idea, and we showed everyone that was at it, like, what we intend to do and where we want to go with it, and how we want to help people.
Which is more nerve-wracking, Aisling, pitching at the school's Dragon Den or this?
They're both very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, you're probably wondering, why did we get ourselves involved? We just wanted to make things better, not have to speak to agents like you. I'm on about me being the agent, not you. Right. Okay, so then on to the Leo finals. That's another presentation, is it, Aisling?
Yeah, that's on next Wednesday now, but we don't have to present the same as the Dragon's Den, where we do our PowerPoint and everything. It's just a stand, but...
That would be my worst nightmare, standing up with the clicker and having to explain stuff. It would just be my worst nightmare. Right, well, so fair play to you for doing it like you did. So, Sheena, what's next then? Because this is obviously, it's a transition year project, right? But it's more... Not that there's any insignificance in that, but this is a bigger deal. Do you know what I mean? This is something that you can kind of keep going with, isn't it?
Yeah, well... We've luckily got a grant from Donegal Sports Partnership, and we're sending out a
pilot study
for three schools and three sporting clubs. And this is just kind of to really put our pack together, and then they'd give us feedback, and then we can tweak it then. So then when we put it out then for people that are actually buying it, to have the best pack that there could be.
Brilliant. So when you research an experience of this and talk to other younger people, is there a difference between the challenges facing girls and boys, or does everyone, you know, experience the same in terms of, you know, winning, losing, making the cut out due to injury? I mean, obviously all the problems are the same, but is there any sense that girls are treated different to boys in this regard, or vice versa? No evidence of that? Be great if there isn't.
No, our pack is kind of just aimed at everyone.
Excellent. So there's no particular problem that needs focusing on. All right, that's good, isn't it? Refreshing. All right, Nicola Harris, very proud, obviously. What's your take on all of this? I mean, it's well needed, I think.
Yeah,
right across all sports at all ages.
Yeah, definitely, especially when you're involved in sport with so many sports in St. Columbus, Stranraer, and within clubs within our community. That this is a common experience with these, you know, some of these players go for 9 or 10 trials and might not make the final cut. And talking to parents at school, even during parent teacher meeting last night, they were saying that their own kids would really benefit from some of these strategies that these girls are putting out there.
Yeah, but for us to produce elite sports people, though, there has to be a winning mentality there, right? So we're not trying to get that out of them, are we? We're not trying to wrap them in cotton wool. We're trying to best make sure we set up an environment that maximises their potential.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you and I know if you put yourself forward for something and if you don't get it, not even outside of sport, you have to build resilience. You have to deal with losing. You have to deal with not making the cut. You have to deal with failure to experience success. Mm. So I think it's for everybody in society to build resilience.
Yeah, and also for people to support them in and to understand that, you know, because we have to deal with that individually an awful lot.
Yes.
And we all have different coping
strategies.
And abilities.
Yeah, yeah. So they have stuff like self-talk and they have different ways of keeping diaries and... so it's amazing what the mind can do, how you can change your mindset.
It's everything, really, isn't it? Well, it's not everything, but it's a big percentage of it all. Right, okay, girls, anything you want to add? Anyone you need to thank?
I'd like to thank Bally Sports for sponsoring our gear.
These are all looking very smart all together.
Thank you.
I don't think Nicola. Did you get involved in the?
I'm O'Reilly's. They're sisters. They're brothers. Actually, the O'Reillys and the Valleys are brothers.
I was going to say you're just not.
Have to get on to Stephen and Marty and get to the gear as well. Yeah, I think they're focus group. You want to talk?
Yeah, we'd also like to thank the focus group. So we met with a group of people down in the A2U in Letterkenny to get their feedback on our idea. And some of the people were Keith Cowan, Michael Harris, Karen Guthrie, Dermot McGranahan and Danny Mooney. So they really helped us with our idea and like they kind of reviewed the pack for us. And then we also met with Sarah Murray. She's a sports psychologist and she reviewed the pack as well. And we just want to thank them all because they really helped us like build up our idea and everything.
Yeah, that's great input to have some of the names you mentioned there. I mean, all right, tell the whole class, Katie, what are we supposed to be saying?
Thanks for Miss Cook.
Our business teacher.
Is that what Nicola told you to say?
Teachers
looking out for each other.
Yeah, you have to watch your back.
I'm only messing. What's her name?
Miss Cook.
Okay, and what's her role in all of this?
Well, she was just kind of helping us review our report and our PowerPoint and just...
Okay. Well, listen, well done. It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. In terms of it being distributed, did I hear a figure of 300 or has this been sent out to clubs already or what's the story?
No, that's just the feedback we got
I'm thinking if there's any, you know, there could be schools or groups listed. I'm not sure you're helping, Nicola. I'm not going to lie to you.
Nicola has just left the room.
Stay here. I'm only joking. Sit down. I'm joking. Is the pack available? Because what I'm saying is there's going to be schools or groups listening and they might wonder, well, when can we get our hands on this? Do we know the answer to that question?
Yeah, well, we have our Instagram and Facebooks and everything that people can contact if they want to get the packs. So we're starting off with our pilot study first for the six packs and then we'll perfect them and then we'll start selling them then. So our Instagram and Facebook is mindovermatter255.
Brilliant.
So if anyone wants to get in contact with us there.
Nicola, it's great, isn't it, to be able to bring in students like this. You know, they recognise problems facing people their own age and coming up with the solutions and we're talking to them. You know, I was at a recent conference and they were talking about young people engaging with the media, right? And there was no young people there.
Okay.
To talk about why we're not, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, no, if you want to fix problems that affect young people, you get them involved in the solution, in the conversation. And that's what's happening here, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're very brave to make a step and to they're spokespeople for a lot of young people at their age. We were just saying that maybe it's the coaches and the parents that are listening today. I know that their age group aren't listening, but they have young ambassadors out there. They have like the Twitter and Facebook, how they, the Instagram, how they communicate with each other. So getting the message out there as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Right, Aisling, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad was this compared to how bad you thought it was going to be coming in here?
Not bad.
Am I going to ask the same question to you, Katie? It was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
grand. Exactly, yeah. Sheena, same view. You're taking it all in your stride anyway. Come on, what do you want to say?
It wasn't as bad as I thought.
Good, okay. Nightmare for Nicola, though.
No, it's okay. Everybody did really well.
Nicola, is the future bright, do you think, in terms of our future sports star? You're seeing them coming through St. Columbus College, of course. And
I think these girls, with this pack alone, well, you know, that they're going to start selling this pack, and that'll help our own school and the clubs and the society. These young girls are all playing. Katie made her debut with her senior ladies there this year,
well done,
a 16 year old, and we have Aisling, who plays Gaelic for McCool's, and Sheena plays Gaelic and soccer under 16 county. So these girls themselves are putting a lot of time and effort into sport. I think it'll help them and help other young athletes at their age group.
Yeah, for sure. And it's important too, there's a buy-in though from the older people, the coaches and the parents and stuff.
Oh, definitely. Sure, they're all teams. There's no I in team.
No, that's it. But there's a me.
Oh, no. There is a me. It has to be a me too. Yeah.
I'm only joking. Listen, Nicola Harris, it's been lovely having you. And thanks for coming in and supporting the girls. It's really important. Aisling Mullen, well done to you.
Thank you. Continued
success in your sporting career and in the development of this. Katie Dowds and Sheena Ryan as well. All transition year students in St. Columbus College in Stranorlar. Another strong argument as to why, as much as possible, transition year needs to be retained in its current form, because if you started having to really study hard for exams now, maybe you couldn't dedicate as much time to this really important project. We appreciate all of you coming in. Thanks so much. All right, just as we head towards the news, and thanks again to the young people from St. Columbus coming in. The future is always bright, and we love to shine a spotlight on it here on this programme. And again, another three people who we can be incredibly proud of. Really bright futures ahead of them, and future stars of sport by the looks of things as well. Do I have time to quickly mention the Highland Fling? It's in Glasgow. It's from the 1st to the 4th of May. That's just around the corner. You can see how quickly this year's going, can't you? We're heading over to the when I say we, yous are, I'm not allowed, 4-star Crown Plaza Hotel in Glasgow. We have live music on May 1st, May 2nd, 3rd as well. David James is there, Declan Nerney, Robert Mazzella, a host of other brilliant performers. There's crack during the day as well, of course, and in the bars. You get your accommodation, you get your coach travel, you get the ferry, you get breakfast, you get dinner, you get the 3 nights of entertainment, lots and lots of fun to be had. Time during the day as well, if you want to go and explore Glasgow, as the hotel is quite close to Glasgow. Your friends in Scotland can come over and go out on the nights out with you as well, because tickets will be available locally for the nightly concerts. It's just €100 per head to book right now if you want to. And then you can pay in the balance of £475 over the course of the next few months. So then you'll have something in May to look forward to. Give us a call if you want any further details on that. 074-91-25000. 074-91-25000. It is the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio.